Welcome to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com. Today's game is powered by Coke Zero. Football-related chest bumps, high fives, and trash talk brought to you by Coke Zero. Enjoy everything. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. Atlantic Physical Therapy Center, with five locations in the Shore area, helping to get you back in the game. The Penalty Box Cafe at the Jersey Shore Arena in Farmingdale, featuring laser tag, arcade, and birthday parties. First Atlantic Federal Credit Union, Barnabas Health, Sonic, America's Drive-In, and the Asbury Park Press. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network, a production of Monmouth University Department of Athletics. Let's head down to the field and join Matt Harmon and Eddie Iacopinti for all of today's action.
And a good Saturday afternoon, everyone. We are live from Kessler Field here in West Long Branch, New Jersey, getting set for the kickoff. It is Monmouth University football, broadcasting today on 1160, 1310, WOBM AM, ShoreSportsNetwork.com, and GoNUHawks.com if you're looking for the video feed today as well. A big day of activity on tap. It is homecoming here in West Long Branch. Always good to see so many fans and alums turn out for this one. The parking lot's all but filled up. The atmosphere is pretty electric out there, and anything beats last year when it was snowing here at the end of October when we had homecoming. So this one, certainly a good turn of events. The opponent for today, the Bulldogs of Bryant University. They come into today's game off their first win of the season a week ago. 1-6 overall, 1-4 in the Northeast Conference. They have played one extra game than Monmouth has up until this point. Hawks 3-3. They are 2-1 right now in the Northeast Conference. They, however, come in off of back-to-back losses and two tough losses. Albany on the 29th of September, 55-24. Cornell a week ago, 41-38. MU had their bye week saddled in the middle of those two tough losses. Weather is absolutely perfect. Game time temperature set for the low 70s. The wind, a bit of a breeze going in one corner of the end zone, coming across to the other, but the sun is out. There is not a cloud in the sky, and the stands starting to fill up here at Kessler Field. We'll step out, take a timeout. When we come back, we'll look at today's opponent, the Bulldogs of Bryant. They boast two of the best offensive players in the league. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more after this two-minute pause. You're listening to Monmouth University Football right here on the Shore Sports Network.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Paul Dottino with the NEC Notebook presented by Choice Hotels. Throwing you can save 15% on your next stay. Visit northeastconference.org and click on the corporate partners link. Monmouth quarterback Kyle Frazier of Gaithersburg, Maryland, is the offensive player of the week. He collected an NEC record 513 yards of total offense against Cornell. Frazier went 35 of 45 for 451 yards and four touchdowns. The defensive pick is Sacred Heart linebacker Justin Sexton of Murrieta, California. The NEC's leading tackler made 13 stops in a win over Dartmouth of the Ivy League. Sacred Heart punter Robert Shepard of Groton, Connecticut, is the special teams player of the week. He dropped three of his six punts inside the Dartmouth 20 without any touchbacks. The rookie pick is Sacred Heart linebacker Kellen Sperduto of Oldwick, New Jersey. He came in for an injured Nico Sierra and made eight tackles while sharing a sack. And a high five to Bryant receiver Jordan Harris. He had nine grabs for 201 yards and two scores to beat Robert Morris. Don't forget to keep track of all your stats, scores, and standings all season long at northeastconference.org.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
And today's pregame show is presented by First Atlantic Federal Credit Union. Visit FAFCU.com to learn why First Atlantic is the better way to bank. Matt Harmon, Eddie Iacopinti here on the Shore Sports Network, 1160 and 1310 AM, shoresportsnetwork.com, GoMUHawks.com with the video feed today. MU getting set for a homecoming showdown with the Bulldogs of Bryant, who they will play for the fifth time in each school's history. Monmouth has dominated the series going back to 2008 with four wins in a row, including a 40-35 win a season ago up in Smithfield, Rhode Island. And as Bryant comes in here today, Eddie, they are coming in 1-6, 1-4 in conference play. They have not yet had their bye. They have that after today's game before finishing up with three games in November. 1-6, but they come in off of that one win of the season, a thrilling come-from-behind win at home last week over Robert Morris, 38-35, in which Mike Westerhaus, the starting quarterback, threw four touchdowns. Jordan Brown's team to get on track a little bit more. We know about his capability. We know about Jordan Harris, who caught the game's game-winning touchdown last night as well. This is a Bulldog team that, despite being 1-6, everyone in the league thought they would be much better. They got a first-place vote in the preseason coaches poll, so there is some talent on this team. They just haven't been able to figure it out this year.
Yeah, Matt, we have been very surprised by their struggles all season. When we read our out-of-town scoreboard and see that they just weren't getting results, we were kind of bewildered because the talent on Marty Fine's team does exist. You mentioned it, the Jordans, two of the best playmakers in the conference. They always have an opportunistic and really pesky defense, so they really haven't put it together for 60 minutes, even including their win last week against a struggling Robert Morris team. But as the year's gone on, they've gotten better, they've played better, they can score, and that's dangerous because this Monmouth defense has been susceptible to the big play these past couple of games.
Well, Brian, here is their schedule up until this point. They opened up the season in early September, on the 1st of September, with a loss to Marist 35-10. I think that was a surprise. And then the surprises continued. Got beat by St. Francis, Pennsylvania, 39-28. Got rolled by Maine, 51-7. Tripped up by Duquesne, 35-21. Lost at Wagner at the end of September, 31-21. Almost squeaked one out against Albany, a team that they have really actually done well against, believe it or not, the last few years. But wound up losing that one, 31-14. And then last week, as we said, Robert Morris was the first win of the season for Bryant, 38-35. Some things that Bryant does well: they can score points. We can go right to the stats and see that. We know they have Jordan Brown, who is an outstanding running back, though the Bryant rushing attack at the bottom of the NAC standings, they only average about 100 yards per game, which you would think plays into the hands of Monmouth in one way. The Hawks defense rush-wise has been very good, but that opens things up to throw the football. Jordan Harris is a great wide receiver. When I say great, I mean he is at the top of just about everything in the NEC. 38 catches, 702 yards, and 8 touchdowns. He will be a matchup problem today for the secondary in against Monmouth, which the last couple weeks has not been good.
Yeah, and last week against Cornell were just flat-out bad, and he'll be the player that the back four for Monmouth will have to key in on. You've got to locate Jordan Harris all over the field. He can beat you short, intermediate, and long. He runs great routes, and he is a freak of an athlete. Not the biggest player, but a player that can stretch the field, and a one that Mike Westerhaus will look to early and often. I would say the key for Monmouth is you've got to try to eliminate him, make somebody else beat you on the outside.
Well, I would agree. Stack the box, take Jordan Brown out of the game right away, maybe double Harris, and then, like you said, let somebody else be the hero today if Brian has that other person. They're 1-6 for a reason. You know, we talk about their talent. Defensively, they have really struggled. They give up more points than anybody else in the Northeast Conference, which is right around 37 points per contest. And you would think that plays into Mama's hands offensively, but Bryant, defensively, they've been a bit of a mess all season long.
Yeah, and they're missing one of their main players, Max Machado, the junior safety, hasn't played these last few games, and they've really struggled in the secondary with him not being there. They've struggled really everywhere. They allow over 200 yards both on the ground and through the air. They give up points, as you said, at a pretty high rate. Normally, they're opportunistic. They're good tacklers, but this unit, which is young, is still kind of learning their identity for this Bryant Bulldog team.
Still waiting for the teams to make their way onto the field. It is a beautiful Saturday afternoon here in West Long Branch. The crowd started to file in. Homecoming on tap, and surprisingly enough, the weather actually pretty good on homecoming.
We woke up Monday, all right, and this was after the Cornell game. We heard 50% chance of rain. Everyone was kind of dreading it. Another homecoming with rain. And then as the week kind of went on, every day was nicer and nicer. I didn't believe it till I woke up, peered out at the curtain, and saw the sun in the air. And I'll tell you, you couldn't have hoped for a better day on the Jersey Shore in late October.
So good, in fact, that a rare occurrence taking place in our Phil Rizzuto portion of the broadcast. My wife and kids are up for the game today on homecoming. It is a rarity when they make their way up for a football game, but it is kind of a nice day for us. We're celebrating our 10th year anniversary today. And here I am, stuck with you in the box. So I want to say a happy anniversary to my wife, who's still in the parking lot enjoying some homecoming festivities and has the radio on right now, 1160 and 1310 a.m. So You'll have to be my partner for the next couple of hours, all right?
Well, let me first say congratulations to you and the beautiful Megan. That is quite an achievement, and I'm honored that you didn't call out today. Not only is it homecoming, but it's the big anniversary. So, you know, maybe I'm moving up the Harmon chain there that you want to spend a couple hours with me.
Yeah, I can't miss. Can't miss. You know that. Football, too important. There's another anniversary next year, I think, right? They take place every year?
That's the rumor. That's the plan.
And we've got a nice night planned tonight. So what we'll do right now is take a quick timeout. We've talked about Bryant. We'll come back and we'll talk about your Monmouth University Hawks, who are gathering in the end zone off to our right, getting set to take the field here on what we hope is a homecoming win. It hasn't taken place all that much. Monmouth overall on homecoming, 8-11, trying to even that up a little bit and get to 9 wins in 20 years of Monmouth football. We're back after this 2-minute pause. Talk about MU, the blue and white, in our next segment. You're listening to Monmouth Football on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
Hawks football today on 1160, 1310 AM, ShoreSportsNetwork.com, GoMUHawks.com. Matt Harmon, Eddie Iacopinti, pair of proud Hawk alums times two, getting sent for a homecoming showdown with the Bulldogs of Bryant University. Monmouth coming into this one 3-3, off a two-game losing streak. Last week, a tough one, 41-38 to Cornell, in which the Hawks put up huge numbers. Kyle Frazier was named as the NEC Offensive Player of the Week for the third time this year, 513 yards of total offense. That was a new school record, a new Northeast Conference record as well. Only problem, Eddie, though, is the defense was really struggling last week. Struggled against Albany, gave up 55 points, the most since a 56-point effort by Lehigh back in the late 90s. So 55 to Albany a couple weeks back, 41 last week to Cornell. The defense, which was a unit that was atop the charts nationally in a lot of categories, and really helped spur Monmouth into a 3-1 start, has really had its struggles the last couple of weeks, but expecting to get a couple of guys back a little bit healthier today, including Billy Louch, which by all accounts has been a major loss for that team of the linebacking core and the overall structure of the defense.
Yeah, and we make that point all the time that Monmouth's defense is just different when Billy Louch is out there, maybe not putting up humongous individual numbers when he's able to play, but just what he allows the rest of the defense, specifically the linebacking core, to do. This unit was fantastic for the first month of the season, and then I've never seen more of a 180 where they've just been flat out bad these last few weeks. They got diced up by a backup quarterback a week ago, Amrine and Cornell, and they're a secondary that's embattled. I think today's game is just what they need. A quarterback in Westerhouse that completes less than 50% of his passes, and if they can get pressure up front with the front four and alleviate some of the stress on the corners and the safeties, Matt, I think they can do some good things today.
Well, as we talk about Louch, that leads us into our injury report. It is presented by Barnabas Health. Premier Healthcare is one click away at barnabashealth.org. Barnabas Health, every day extraordinary. So Bill Louch, even though he did see a couple of plays last week, now really starting to get healthy again. We'll see more time here today. Pat Gray feeling better. Elijah Phillips, who suffered a shoulder injury last week, will at least give it a go today. Neil Sterling, who's been bothered by ankle problems all season long, says he is finally starting to feel 100%, which gives Frazier a whole nother weapon to work with, which for Monmouth will be big today, because I think in times where one unit struggles, it's time for the other unit to kind of pick it up. So if Monmouth can put together some long drives and keep that Bryant offense off the field a little bit, I think it just kind of eases kind of the worries of, hey, the defense, you really got to do this, this, and this. Just go out and play football today, but the offense could really help some of that along today.
The two units will have to work hand in hand, and it's almost cliche to say, but if the defense is doing their thing, getting stops on third down, giving the ball back to the offense, then it's easier for them to score more points, and then conversely, if the offense can move the sticks, put drives together, they let the defense rest.
Coin toss took place. Bryant won the toss. They have elected to defer their choice until the second half, so Monmouth will receive. Our coin toss presented by Coke Zero. The Hawks get a taste of forward progress, and so can you with Coca-Cola Zero, the only drink to combine real Coke taste and zero calories. So grab one now and taste forward progress with Coca-Cola Zero. Enjoy everything. Monmouth in their home midnight blue jerseys, the white numerals, the white pants, the dark blue helmets with a white MU insignia on either side. Bryant will take to the field in their away white jerseys, black pants, and the gold helmets. Bulldogs and the Hawks playing for the fifth time today, and it will be to get this game up and running. Number 36, Dom Kozlowski. He is a good kicker, also doubles as the punter for this Bryant team. He does both, wears number 36. He is a player out of Westford, Massachusetts. He is just a freshman, 6 foot, 193 pounds. Back deep among three Monmouth players, Pete Nagy, number 22, the transfer from Montclair State. The ball spotted right smack dab in the middle of the field at the 35-yard line, and on cue, falls off the tee.
Right, no wind, perfect day with no clouds, and the ball falls. If it didn't, I wouldn't know what to do.
Seems to happen just about every game, doesn't it?
It's amazing. It happens in windy conditions, and it happens on a day that looks a lot more like a beach day than a football day today.
Well, settle in. We hope you enjoy this homecoming broadcast as Mama's celebrating 20 years of football here. Such a great day for football activity. Kozlowski gives this one a charge. High end-over-end kick returnable for Nagy right at the goal line. Gets to the 10, out to the 15, gets to the 20, stays on his feet, makes a move to the near sideline at the 25-yard line, and then taken down by number two, Jeremy Woodson will make the tackle. And here comes the Monmouth offense under the reigning NEC Offensive Player of the Week, Kyle Frazier, the 6'3", 225-pound fifth-year senior quarterback. Up front, the line the same as it's been all season long. Mike Murphy and Brandon Maxwell, the tackles. The guards are Dino Molina and Josh Patterson. Mike Hunchek is the senior center. Julian Hayes will start in the backfield today, along with Lacey native Justin Pandorf. Tyler George at the tight end. He goes to the right side of the formation. Split wide receiver set, Lamar Davenport and Tristan Roberts. Monmouth wanting to throw here on first down. Roberts will haul it in, make the catch, out to the 32-yard line for a gain of 7. And it will be a second down and 3. The back judge coming in, blowing his whistle, trying to slow things down for a second. They actually give Roberts an extra yard. It'll be an 8-yard pickup. And we will call it second and 2. 4-3 package for Bryant. Jeff Kovitz and Jordan Kelly are the ends. Ryan Schermerhorn and Connor McNamara, the two inside guys. McNamara as the nose man, so somebody will be over the center all day. Here's Hayes in the backfield. Will get dropped by Schermerhorn. No gain on the play. It'll bring up third down to 2. Sam Sammons and Aaron Dixon, the outside linebackers. Colin Sullivan, the middle guy. Jeremy Woodson and Chuck Wingate, the corners. Bobby Rutland and Sebastian Amity are the two safeties.
That's Monmouth's first run. They've struggled to run the football for about the last 3 games. They need to get that fixed against this Bryant team to stay offensively balanced.
Frazier on 3rd and 2. Zone read. He will keep it. Try and get forward for the first down. Not going to have it. He's going to be a good full Frazier's half yard full short. Could not slip Bobby off Rutland. The tackle of Kyle Rutland. And it will bring up a 4th down here and less than a yard. But Monmouth, obviously so early in the game, will play close to the vest and punt it away.
Three and out. You really don't see this offense go three and out very often. That time, couple of failed runs after the pass play, and it'll be on the MU defense now.
Early decision here. Ryan Moore comes on to punt, 3rd in the NEC. Does he punt to Jordan Brown, who is so dangerous when he has his hands on the football? The ball will bounce and be downed by Evan Ruane, the long snapper, at the Bryant 33-yard line. So after a three and out, we'll get a quick look here at the Bulldog offense. We mentioned Jordan Brown. He is number one in all-purpose yardage in the Northeast Conference coming into the game today. The quarterback, the junior Mike Westerhouse, Saloma Johnson, the fullback. The wide receivers, Jordan Harrison, Chad Ward. Ryan Barrett is the tight end. The tackles, Chris Wildeson and Tyler Cardoz. Abe Mbuj and Doug Flink, the guards, and Charles Argast is the center. First down here in 10. Westerhouse wants to throw. Had 4 touchdowns a week ago. Finds a man spotted up at the first down marker. Able to get 11 yards down the field. That was Chad Ward, the 6'3", 185-pound freshman, to make the catch. Ward coming in as really the third option on this team. Just 9 catches on the year. That is number 10. He is from Delray Beach, Florida.
And maybe a candidate, Matt, for one of those players that we mentioned could step up if MU does successfully take Jordan Harris out of the playbook as that complementary receiver.
Split wide receiver set, movement up front for Bryant. That will go against the tight end.
99, offense, 5-yard penalty, still first down.
That is John McDermott who will back things up.
I'll tell you this. Good luck trying to identify some of these players. You could see jerseys on players that may not be theirs. Matt, I got about three or four different rosters this week alone. I thought I was doing a high school game in Alaska the way I was getting information.
Split receiver set. Here's Westerhouse, little play action, rolling off to his right. He's got tons of time, goes down the field. He will dump it off to the tight end, Barrett, who will have the first down and get into Monmouth territory. Tripped up at the Hawks' 44-yard line. That will go as a completion of 12 and a half yards. And quickly on two plays, Bryant in business.
And through the air, again, Westerhouse completes 49% of his passes. He's thrown 10 picks. But he looks really good thus far. A couple of wide open players as it looks like MU is going to play zone coverage. And that time, Colin Cooper a bit out of position, allowing the completion.
So first down and 10 now for Bryant. They'll go straight eye formation. Jordan Brown is yet to touch it as Westerhouse staying in the air will sky this one out of bounds and into the kicking apparatus that Monmouth has set up on their sideline. It'll bring up second and 10. Westerhouse, kind of an interesting story. He was the one piece of the puzzle that has taken so long to kind of come along in this offense a little bit, with a great running back in Brown and a talented wide receiver in Harris. But Westerhouse really found his stride a week ago. Four touchdown passes against Robert Morris.
Colonial struggling, but that was a wake-up call for the Bulldogs. That's them at their best, and that's what we saw last week.
Harris far sideline to the left, going to go in motion. Here is the gift to Brown up the middle. We'll take it to the 39-yard line. They'll give forward progress to the 40, so that'll go as a 4-yard pickup, and it will bring up a third down and 6.
This Bryant offense needs to stay ahead of the chain, Matt. They're not the kind of offense to go shotgun and spread you out like Monmouth is. They really do play old school football. They'll line up with a fullback, a tight end. Marty Fine likes that traditional pro style look to his offense. So this third and 6, not something that they're conducive with.
Talk about the coaching matchup in just a second. Bryant here with a third and 6 coming up. Offset eye formation to the left. Westerhouse stepping up in the pocket, has time, now going to run for the first down, not going to have it. Taken down at the 36-yard line. Sullivan and Upham combine on the tackle. But this is a fourth down situation where maybe Bryant thinks about going for it. Marty Fine, in his ninth year, he was the coach who helped Bryant make the transition from a Division II school. They were a part of the NE10 to now FCS football. And since taking the program into the NEC in 2008, Bryant, for the most part, has been a reputable team. They finished 7-4 in 2008. They finished 7-4 last year and the year before that. They had one little blip on the radar screen, which was 2009. They went 5-6. Fourth down here and 3, and the Bulldogs will go for it. Out of the I formation, Westerhouse, play action, rolls left, looking down the field, goes to the flat, has a man, Aloma Johnson, the fullback, will make the catch and have the first down. Taken down by Pat Gray at the MU 26-yard line. So Bryant on the move here with 10 minutes, 22 seconds remaining. They go for it on fourth down and convert.
A couple of throwing first downs for Westerhouse, and it just looks as though the Monmouth defense needs to sort themselves out. And they're caught, I think, a little off guard by how much Bryant has gone to the air. But you mentioned Marty Fine. Bryant didn't come in and be slotted at the bottom right away. They're a mid to upper tier team in the league, and something that you forgot to mention, best mustache in the conference.
Oh, he sure does. There's no doubt about that. We're getting set for Movember to start in a couple of weeks, and he's already set and ready to go. Here's Brown off tackle to the left side. Will spin off a tackle and pick up good yardage off the left side. Close to a first down. Andrew Sutton will make the tackle about 9.5 yards down the field. Let's go through the starters for Monmouth defensively. Brad Harris and Pat O'Hara, the ends. Mike Upham and Chris Loom of the tackles. The linebacking core is Colin Cooper, Dan Sullivan, and Dave Demersion gets the start today in place of Louch, who we're expecting to see play. Reggie Hildebrandt Jr. in one corner. Mitchell Pollard is the other. The safeties, Andrew Sutton and Pat Gray.
Monmouth defense will need to tighten up here. It's second and 1 for Bryant. So play action is in play, and it looks as though MU is going to put a safety over the top of Jordan Harris.
Split wide receiver set. It will be Brown to get the carry off. Tackle to the right side, throws it into an extra gear, and will score. Takes it in from 17 yards out, and Bryant on the scoreboard first. They lead it by a score of 6-0.
The Bulldogs on homecoming weekend for Monmouth go right down the field. MU goes 3 and out offensively, and then Bryant comes down. Nice mix with the run and the pass, and they ultimately punch it in to the end zone. 17-yard score for a very dangerous player, Jordan Brown.
Here's Kozlowski on for the extra point. He will work out of the hold of Devin O'Connor. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up right through the uprights and good. Bryant, 7, Monmouth, nothing. We're back for more MU football after this quick 30-second timeout. You're listening to the Hawks on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Our game today presented in part by Rooney's Oceanfront Restaurant, open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and featuring one of the area's best ocean views while you dine. Visit them online at rooneysocean.com. Matt Harmon, Eddie Acapinti back here on the Shore Sports Network. Brian taking their opening possession, going right down the field and scoring. Jordan Brown taking care of that as the Bulldogs have opened up a 7-0 lead here on homecoming Saturday in West Long Branch. Brown now on the season rushing the football, has scored 5 times overall. Kozlowski will get set to kick off. MU could use a long return here out of someone. Pete Nagy, the deepest man back. He stands at his own 5-yard line. Kozlowski with a high end-over-end kick. This one's going to make the back part of the end zone and trickle out using what wind is behind him. It goes out of bounds and will come out to the 25-yard line where Monmouth will have it for the second time here. So a similar position to what Monmouth was in last week when the defense giving up points, the offense probably feeling like they've got to score almost every time out.
Not a good position to put your offense in. They know they need to score, but let them do it on their own terms. Don't dictate that by giving up large chunks of play. By the way, we did eventually find out who this mystery man number 99 is, but good luck trying to decipher the rest of this roster.
On first down and 10 for MU, 3 wide receivers set. Quick pitch fake to the outside. It's Asante to get the carry. Off tackle coming back to the left. He'll pick up 9 and take it out to the 34-yard line. It'll bring up a 2nd-and-1 for MU. Hawks going right back to work. They will go no huddle heel. Sterling split out far sideline to the right. Sumlin and Roberts near sideline to the left. It's Asante on the carry again. Not as much success this time, but will still get a first down, getting out to the 36-yard line where it will be first down and 10.
This running attack able to pick up the first down. Again, this Monmouth rushing attack is key. As much as, and I like to see MU air it out as much as anyone, you've got to stay balanced so play action is still in play. I'd like Asante to get a few extra carries today.
Frazier fakes to Asante, rolls right, chucks one down, almost intercepted. Roberts was the nearest man on the scene, and that will go as an incompletion and come back for a 2nd-and-10.
You ever notice that the majority, it seems, that of Kyle's interceptions are on plays like that? Maybe when he's scrambling and he tries to throw it away and just doesn't get it out of play enough. That one, very dangerous again. You figure fifth-year senior, he would know, if you're going to throw it away, you should probably try to hit that bush. Maybe not that one, but that one.
Number one in total offense is Frazier in the NEC. Has time here, lets it fly, and airmails it a little bit into the Monmouth sideline. Another incompletion, but a flag is out. Likely to be a hold thrown by the umpire. We'll check the flag here first and wait for the referee to make the signal. It is a hold on Monmouth. It'll be charged to the center that time, Mike Hunchak, and it is a 10-yard penalty. It will go back to the 26-yard line and bring up a 2nd-and-20.
So a 3-and-out first drive. Then you allow the opposition to come right down the field and score, and now stubbing yourself in the toe with a penalty, making it 2nd-and-long. This team look forward to getting back home. They haven't been home, Matt, in 3 weeks, counting that bye, and they have started slow, something that we always fear with them.
Trips off to the right, someone in motion. Screen set up. Asante has it. A lot of white jerseys tracking down KB, who will run for his life and get out of bounds. Maybe got back to the line of scrimmage. I think where they're going to spot the football, it's going to go as a 2-yard loss. Back to the 24. It will set up 3rd-and-22. 8 minutes remaining here in the first quarter. Bryant leads this one by a score of 7-0.
I know that you want to do things within the framework of your offense, and you do have plays for certain situations, but I think we need to realize something. MU's athletes on the outside are just better than Bryant's, and they need to look to exploit some of those matchups.
Sterling Far sideline of the right. Frazier here wanting to throw. Scrambling again. Rolling off to his left. In trouble. Will chuck it into the MU sideline. And it'll go as an incompletion. A very inauspicious start here for Monmouth, who will go three and out. And basically, after one first down, they kind of go a quick series right after that and will have to punt the football away and punt it away to a guy who pretty much every time he gets his hands on the football is a danger to break a big run.
Yeah, Jordan Brown is kind of the NEC's version of an old school Marshall Faulk type. He's so dangerous, not big, he's small and elusive, and his burst is really sneaky.
Moore, under no pressure, gets off a high but short kick. Brown will let it bounce. It will do so at the 40-yard line and be downed at the Bryan 41. So a short field to work with, and Moore did well to get it off, was under a little bit of pressure and had to kick it into a wind that has started to creep up just a little bit here as the Bulldogs will take it for the second time here on the afternoon. 7:27 remaining, quarter number one. Bryant 7, Monmouth nothing.
Bryant on their first possession, Matt, did a lot of balanced, really efficient things that I was impressed to see. Westerhaus looked really good throwing the football. They haven't really tried Jordan Harris yet. They've gone underneath a couple of times, and they moved the chains before Brown ended the previous drive with a score.
Straight eye formation, tight end off to the right. Here's a reverse setup and coming all the way around the field out to the 45-yard line and getting into Monmouth territory. Number 83, DJ Randall L., the freshman wide receiver from Leesburg, Virginia. Harris on the tackle, but another long gain as Bryant has gone to the bag of tricks early here with the wide receiver reverse.
And why not? They ran it and threw it effectively their first drive. Now they have MU off balance, and they obviously saw something on film with MU over-pursuing.
Wide receivers either way, three-man pattern, ton of time for Westerhaus, lets it go down the field, and found Jordan Brown spotted up. He will make the catch. Check it, Chad Ward, excuse me, on the reception, right at the first down marker. The chains will move here and down to the 37-yard line of Monmouth. The Bulldogs getting pretty big chunks of yardage here, seemingly at ease. Westerhaus has had a ton of time to throw every time he has gone back. And something, again, that was a strength early in the season, the pass rush for Monmouth has been a bit absent the last couple of weeks.
That's putting it nicely.
First down and 10 now from the MU 37. It's going to be Jordan Brown this time. Off tackle to the left side. Makes one man miss, makes another miss. Cuts back to the middle of the field and gets a first down carry down inside the 25. To the 24-yard line, went right through Mitchell Pollard, who swung and missed like he was a batter in the batter's box against the curveball. And it will set up now a first down and 10 for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Mitchell may need to recheck the uniform there with an equipment check because that was a heck of a little juke and shake by Brown, and the laundry may be on the deck, to steal a broadcast term. That was a heck of a one-on-one move.
We're hoping to see Elijah Phillips get some more time here today. Haven't seen him on the field as of yet. Westerhaus pumps once, wants to throw, looking for Harris in the end zone, and batted away at the last second. Double coverage by Pollard and Gray. Pretty good coverage down the field that time. It'll set up second and 10.
And that's what Monmouth needs to do. Don't be afraid to, as you said it in pregame, partner, load up the box, put 7 or 8 in there, stop Jordan Brown, and then just double Harris. Now, I realize it's easier said than done, and they can't run a triangle and two with these two guys, but it's easy. You can't let them beat you. It's that old-school mentality. If you stop them, you make the complementary guys play out of their comfort zone and try to stop them that way.
Player down for Monmouth on the injury front is Mitchell Pollard. I see Elijah Phillips getting set and ready to check in. We'll see if it will be Pollard or Joe Johnson. Looks like Joe Johnson was getting the call from the head coach, Kevin Callahan. Pollard seemingly with a ankle injury, getting helped off the field. We'll have a quick timeout on the field. While we do, we can run through some of the scores taking place right now. There are three other games going on in the NEC. Albany with the bye this week. Halftime, Robert Morris and Central Connecticut State all tied right now at 14. Wagner leads St. Francis, Pennsylvania, start of the third quarter 17-10. Halftime as well out in Pittsburgh were Duquesne, leading Sacred Heart by a score of 14-3.
Third quarter.
Noon starts on the fly, I guess.
It's only 1:20.
Westerhouse wanting to throw here on second and 10. Here comes the pass rush of the sack in the backfield. Demetrius Smith, the big fella, coming through and getting involved in the action. That'll go as a 6-yard loss back to the 31-yard line and set up a third and 16.
I thought you would have been calling this name more, but I'm happy to see it called now as Demetrius Smith breaks through the line, gets the sack. I look for him to be more productive here this second half of the season. He's such a physically imposing player that you think against these NEC teams, he'll just be able to wear down the opposing offenses.
Third down and long here. Perhaps four down territory again for Bryan, who will go shotgun formation. Trips this time as Harris and Brown check into the game. Here is a screen pass set up. Football drop by Ricardo McCray, backup running back, and now sets up fourth down. Let's see what kind of leg Kozlowski maybe has. This would be a long kick. Would be about a 50-yarder. Let's see if Marty Fine will give him a chance, and it looks like he will. So Kozlowski on the season, good on the extra point front, where he is 18 of 19, but just 2 of 6 on the field goal tries.
Well, MU has been susceptible to special teams fakes this season. Fake punt against Albany really derailed the season. Wouldn't be shocked if this ball never left the kicker's foot.
We will call this a 48-yard field goal. Here comes pressure from the outside, almost blocked, not going to have a chance to be good. And MU will hold. That's a big hold because as Bryan seemingly going down the field, you get some pressure, you get a sack, and then you force a long field goal and get the football back with no points up on the board. The score holding right now at 7-0, 4:52 to go in quarter number one. Bryant on top of Monmouth.
So now the change of possession and the timeout on the field for that. I realize this may seem like the broken record that I probably sound like on Saturdays in the fall, but now what you do in this scenario, it acts as a turnover. I would love to see a play action, a gadget play if Monmouth has it, and stretch this Bryant D.
Frazier going to hand it off to Pete Nagy, who checks into the game. Gets his first carry of the afternoon and works off the left side for a 2-yard pickup. It'll set up second down and 8. Change of personnel is Tyler George checking back into the game. Pandorf will check out. Davenport and Sterling at the wide receiver spots. Mike McLafferty into the game as well. George will go as a stand-up tight end off the right side. McLafferty, three-point stance, same way. Davenport and Sterling come near sideline to the left. Frazier wants to throw, looks right, throws right. He's got George open down the far sideline, and Tyler will go up, climb the ladder, and make the catch, get into Bryant territory at the Bulldog 45-yard line.
A cover three look from Bryant, Matt. They split the safeties and a corner drop back, putting three defensive backs across the back line. George did well to find that soft spot in the zone, nestled between the linebackers and what ended up being the strong safety on the left. Nice throw from Kyle. Keep the momentum going through the air.
First down and 10, Frazier play action, rolling left, looking for anybody to open up. It's Davenport who will juggle it but make the catch at the 31-yard line, get forward to the 29-yard line. And Monmouth now getting down the field pretty quick, that one going as a gain of 16.
So after really being sluggish and kind of walking through quicksand for a drive, now a little pep in the step, and this is what we want to see. Vertical, down the field, use the matchups that you have.
Sterling and Davenport up top, far sideline to the right. McLafferty is the tight end left. George tight end right. Nagy the single back here for Monmouth. Play clock down to 9. Frazier working out of that shotgun formation. Gets it, wants to throw, lets it fly. May have been deflected at the line or just a low throw that didn't have any zip into it. It skips into Davenport as an incompletion and will go as a second and 10.
And you shouldn't let that incompletion stop this momentum because the receiver was open. I think you're right. And it looked as though the Bryant defender snuck himself through. I think it was Sullivan on a blitz. Is now Bryant's going to go for a... I've never seen that line change on the fly.
Here's Sumlin on the jet sweep around left end looking to pick a spot. Doesn't have anything. That one will pick up only a yard to the 28-yard line. Boy, seemingly Monmouth could have gotten Bryant in a bad situation there. I mean, the Bulldogs ran six guys off at almost the last second, and six guys came on the field and never really got sent, but only a one-yard pickup for Monmouth with a flag down as well. Maybe too many men on the field.
Yeah, I think 20 is too many.
Well, face mask, okay. Too many men would have been my first guess, only because, like you said, I've never seen, you've seen late subs, but not six guys going off at one time and six new guys coming on.
And I would have liked to seen Kyle Frazier just hurry his cadence and snap count and snap it when they had what probably was 16 guys on the field. But MU, the beneficiary of the face mask penalty here. I've maybe one guy if a shoe falls off or he's injured, but like you said, a whole new defensive line and a couple of linebackers.
Frazier looking to keep this one rolling here from the Bryant 14-yard line, going to the end zone looking for Sterling, and led him too much. It'll go incomplete and out of bounds and bring up a second and 10.
Double move on Jeremy Woodson, the 5'7 junior on the outside. Little player, really good coverage there as Sterling gave it the stop at the 10. And Kyle Frazier threw it to his outside shoulder. If it was thrown inside, it might have had a chance to be completed, but really, really nice coverage.
Well, there is a huge size difference. Sterling 6'4", Woodson 5'7". Here's Frazier's own read off the left side, trying to get to the corner. Will run out of bounds at about the 11-yard line. Pick up three, bring up a third down and 7. Big third down here for Monmouth. They got to get themselves into the end zone here. One thing you don't want to do is take points off of the board, you know. As well as the offense played last week with 38, they did turn the ball over a couple times. And talking to some of the guys during the course of the week, they said we left points on the field because Cornell couldn't stop us. So when you have chances, you've got to cash in. Monmouth down in the red zone right now. Frazier with tons of time. Lets it go. Sterling couldn't hang on to the football. Would have caught it and I think been able to definitely get a first down, if not a touchdown. It'll set up fourth down here, and on will come Eric Spillane for the field goal.
I think Neal did the kind of the only no-no a receiver can do. He took his eye off of the football. He was already upfield mentally, and it turned his head. It was thrown a tick behind him, but a catch he makes all the time. He's got to secure the catch, put it away, and then get some run after catch.
Here's Eric Spillane on for a 29-yard field goal. Mama's all-time leading field goal kicker. 8 of 10 so far this year out of the hold of Craig Peterson from the left hash mark. Knocks this one through for a 29-yard field goal. 9 on the season, 34 now for his career. MU on the board. They put 3 up, 7-3 the score in favor of Bryant. We step out for 30 seconds. You're listening to Hawk Football on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
And on this Saturday, Monmouth University would like to thank BMW of Freehold for supplying today's homecoming parade VIP vehicles. BMW of Freehold is New Jersey's fastest growing BMW dealer. Visit their website, BMWofFreehold.com.
Bryant will put Jordan Brown as the deepest man back. Tyreek DeShields, the man in front of him. Another number change from one of the rosters floating around the press box up here today as Lucas Santangelo will get set to kick off with the ball smack dab in the middle at the 35-yard line. That scoring drive for Monmouth, 9 plays, 57 yards, took up 2 minutes and 10 seconds of the clock. Santangelo kicking into the wind. Hangs this one up. Brown, returnable from the 7-yard line. Running right up the middle of the field. Has a seam. Burst of speed out to the 30-yard line where he's taken down by Joe Johnson with a very late flag flying in. And thrown a couple yards back from where the tackle was made. That static you just heard was the referee's mic opening up maybe at the wrong time, and will be a penalty against Bryant. It is a spot foul, which is good news for MU as it was thrown at the 23-yard line. So if I heard the referee correctly, it should be marched back off from that spot and go all the way back to the 13-yard line for Bryant. Actually, they'll put it at the 12, so a big penalty. Brian was about to start at the 30-yard line. Instead, they'll start at the 12-yard line.
I'm more impressed that you heard him through that interference.
The ears still work.
I'm also surprised I didn't jump, because that was loud.
It sure was. Ward and Harris this time. It'll slot receiver combo off the left side. The tight end Barrett off that way as well. And now a flag is flown again. This is going to be a procedure penalty against Bryant. So now an opportunity for the Monmouth defense to really make a stand and make a statement. This will go back inside the 10 to the 7-yard line where Bryant will now have it, first and 15.
We saw Monmouth commit a penalty on their previous drive. It ended up not hurting the Hawks as they scored a touchdown. But now back-to-back penalties push Bryant back deep in their own territory.
Five-man front here for MU. Westerhaus wanting to throw from the back of his own end zone. Goes to the far sideline. That catch is made, hauled in by Chad Ward, the freshman. We've called his name a couple of times already here today. Out to the 17-yard line. Coverage by Pat Gray. It will put the Bulldogs halfway to a first down. Second down coming up here and a long 6, maybe 7 yards.
That time Gray was matched up on the outside. Again, that zone look is allowing these Bryant receivers a lot of area.
Late in the first quarter, here's Brown on the carry. He's going to work his way out to the 26-yard line. That's going to be enough for a Bulldog first down. Chains will move. They'll spot it at the 25. We're inside of 2 minutes now remaining in quarter number one. Bryant 7, Monmouth 3.
Westerhaus, again, a player who normally doesn't complete a high percentage of his passes. He's looked pretty accurate and spot on today with his balls. They haven't asked him to do too much, but when he does, he's accurate.
Westerhaus up under center, straight eye formation. Johnson the fullback, Brown the deep man, out of the eye. Play action. Boy, Bryant throwing the ball a lot here today. In the flat, Johnson will have it. Break a tackle, spin off of another. Poor tackling job that time by MU. Colin Cooper missed it first. And Jeremy Rodriguez, the next man to miss. Would have been no gain. Instead, Bryant will pick up 7 and will leave the Bulldogs with a second down and 3.
Well, what does it say about the state of the MU pass defense that a Bryant team that struggles throwing the football this season is doing it pretty easily here? If you're going to play coverage and play soft, you've got to make the sure tackle. MU missed on a pair on that play.
Bryant averaging about 209 yards through the air on the season. Westerhaus wants to throw again in the flat. He's got a man wide open. It's Harris to make the catch. He'll have a first down. They will put it at the Bryant 44-yard line. That will go as a gain of 12, and the chains moving again.
Wide open players now. Take a look at the field, and you see Joe Johnson at the right corner position as Mitchell Pollard's getting looked at on the sideline. This hasn't been anything new, Matt. They've, in this meaning this Monmouth defense, has allowed the opposition wide open pass receivers a couple of weeks now.
Well, Joe Johnson has checked in at the cornerback spot. Elijah Phillips up top at a safety spot. Harris in motion. Here's another fake reverse setup. Westerhaus wanting to go downtown. Flags are out. Thrown at the Bryant 36-yard line. Luma put the pressure on. I think going to be an illegal block. Well, a hold instead. I thought someone went low on Luma. A hold Monmouth will take as Bryant again trying to use that reverse to set up something down the field with the penalty. Ball will be back inside the Bryant 35-yard line of the Bulldog 34 and bring up a first down and 20. We are 20 seconds remaining here in the first quarter. Tyreek DeShields has checked in at a wide receiver coming near sideline to the right. Quick pass to the outside, and it is the Shields to make the catch. Will come forward and get to the Bryant 47-yard line. Clock will run out here, and our first quarter will come to a close. Bulldogs 7, Hawks 3. Homecoming day in West Long Branch. We step out for 60 seconds. We're back with more Monmouth football right after this quick timeout. You're listening to MU Athletics on the Shore Sports Network. Monmouth.